insane talk in an insane world. Todd Starnes.
All right. Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I have been waiting for this moment all for the past 3 hours. Excited to welcome on the program, on the Newsmaker line, our good friend Joel Rosenberg, who, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, also has his man card. So he's infected with that toxic masculinity, too. Joel, welcome to the show.
Hey, Todd, I must have missed the earlier segment, but I appreciate whatever you just said.
Well, it's a compliment. Intro, it's a compliment, Joel.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Joel, I have to tell you, I really am a huge fan of your work. I've read every single one of your novels, and I know
you're having me on anyway.
Well, you know, my competition at this hour on the radio, Rush Limbaugh, he's the guy that introduced me to your books, and I've been hooked for years.
Well, I love Rush, and I really appreciate you, and we're getting to know each other over the last few years, and I really appreciate you having me on the program.
Well, look, the thing that's about that I find amazing about you, and it's really uncanny, is every time you write a novel, there is something happening in real life. It's almost prophetic. And of course, your new book is The Kremlin Conspiracy. Tell us about the new book.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you have to understand, when I start writing these books, I'm usually doing the research 2 years out. And, of course, I wrote the book, started writing it 18 months out. So, but the Kremlin Conspiracy, it's a novel. It's pure fiction. But it deals with the rise of a tyrant in Moscow. He's not Putin, but let's call him Putin-esque, okay? And while the new American president is focused on North Korea, on Iran, on ISIS, Al-Qaeda, all important threats, but the Russian leader is plotting a lightning-fast strike against the Baltic states. So these are the three states on Russia's western border: Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. Now, most Americans can't find them on a map, honestly. I mean, it's just not part of our mix. You say the Baltics, somebody says, I think that's on my Monopoly board, right? Baltic Avenue. You're like, isn't that the cheap one that we don't really care about? Yeah.
I think that is the cheap one, yeah.
It is the cheap one. $60. It's purple. Okay. But in real life, these were three countries that were enslaved by the evil empire, by the Soviets, for 70 years. And when they got their freedom, they roared into really thriving democracies, free markets, religious freedom. But they are terrified right now in real life. I'm switching back and forth from the novel to real life. In real life, these are three countries terrified that Russia is coming back for them. Because in real life, Vladimir Putin keeps threatening them and amassing upwards of 100,000 troops not far from their borders. Now, real quick, in the novel, in The Kremlin Conspiracy, just out this week, my fictional Russian leader decides to make a play for them. He's going to do a lightning-fast strike. He's going to grab one or all of them. And the challenge is they are NATO countries, right? Since 2004, they've been official NATO members, which means they fall under the protection of Article 5, which is the Mutual Defense Pact of NATO. One country gets attacked, all of them themselves consider attacked, and they all come to the rescue of the country that was attacked. But the gamble that my fictional Russian leader is about to take is that he thinks if he goes and grabs one or all those countries in 96 hours with a lightning strike, that no one's going to come and rescue them. That the United States and the NATO alliance is not going to risk full-out war, possibly nuclear war, to get back three countries that most Americans don't know much about. And that's the gamble that's at the heart of this sort of worst-case scenario thriller. And the scary thing is, right as you and I are speaking, I'm in Washington, the foreign ministers of all those three countries are literally here right now setting up a summit between President Trump and the three Baltic leaders for April 3rd, because they're afraid this scenario is actually going to come to pass. The ambassador of one of them just contacted me and wants to meet tomorrow.
This is fascinating, and I can understand why, because when your books come out, it's just uncanny how world events seem to mimic what you're writing about.
I'm actually not trying to say these things will happen. I'm doing a war game in a fictional environment where I'm essentially extrapolating out the risks that there are, usually risks that most Americans don't focus on. Otherwise, I wouldn't write about it because people are everyone else is doing it. But things that could happen. These are worst case scenarios, and God forbid they would ever come to pass.
But you normally, though, I mean, look, you write about radical Islam. That's been a major theme of your books, and now you're switching to Russia. Why do that? Why the switch?
Right. Well, I've been my first novel was called The Last Jihad. I began writing it, as it turns out, almost 9 months before September 11th, 2001. But the first page of that novel put you inside the cockpit of a jet plane hijacked by radical Islamist terrorists coming in on a kamikaze attack mission into an American city. And the plot led to a fictional war between the United States and Saddam Hussein to remove Saddam from power in Iraq. So that was ahead of the curve, because that hadn't happened, and I wasn't predicting it would. I was just saying, God forbid, what if it did? Now, after writing for almost 17 years about the threat of radical and apocalyptic Islam, just me personally, I needed a new professional challenge. I needed to sort of reshuffle the deck. And Todd, my family on my father's side were Orthodox Jews, and they escaped out of Russia in 1906 and 1907, two different batches. And they did so because at the time, Tsar Nicholas II was overseeing tremendously evil anti-Semitic murder rampages against the Jewish people, known as pogroms. By God's grace, we got out and we got to America. And that's where we found freedom. That's where we came to faith in Jesus as the Messiah. So we have this thing about Russia and Russian tyrants and Russian czars. And as I was looking around the world for where is evil rising next, my eye just kept getting drawn back to Moscow. I've been there numerous times. And under Putin, I see the godfather rising. Yes, a czar, to be sure, meaning an imperialist, a guy who wants to take over everybody near him, or at least put them under his thumb. But I also see a godfather mafia boss, and he's not Sonny Corleone. He's not hot-headed, impulsive, rash. Vladimir Putin is Michael Corleone. He is a cold-blooded, calculated killer. And in some ways, I modeled my fictional Russian leader, Alexander Luganov, in the book, after Michael Corleone more than a Russian, because that's who I see in Vladimir Putin.
On the Newsmaker line is Joel Rosenberg, author of the new book out this week. Folks, I got an advanced copy. I've been reading it at night, and it's just really – it's a typical Joe Rosenberg book. You can't put it down. It's terrific. It's called The Kremlin Conspiracy. We have a link to that book over on the live show blog at toddstarns.com. Joel, there's a – I want to ask you about kind of a two-part question here about President Trump and his relationship, the U.S. relationship, with Putin. There's so much talk in the media about Russia collusion. So first, let's talk about that relationship between the two countries.
Yeah. So one of the biggest challenges that we face with Vladimir Putin, and we just came out with a poll, by the way, just yesterday, and you can go to my website, joelrosenberg.com. Go to the blog. It's the lead story. We've got this exclusive poll that we did with one of President Trump's pollsters. So it's solid. It's real. It's not biased against the president. But what we found is that 73% of Americans see Vladimir Putin as a clear and present danger to the national security of the United States and to our NATO and Middle East allies. There's very few issues in America right now where you can get almost 3 out of 4 Americans saying the exact same thing. And Russia, Putin, that threat is one of them.
You know, Joel, let me hop in here for a second. And also in that poll, it was over 60%, to 60.5%, really are worried that Putin could be planning some military attack somewhere.
Another attack, exactly, because he's already invaded the Republic of Georgia in 2008, and he doesn't own it, but he occupies 20%. He invaded southern Ukraine and stole Crimea. He invaded eastern Ukraine and essentially occupies what's called the Donbas region. He sent military forces into Syria to work with Iran and Assad to slaughter people, including using chemical weapons. So this is a guy who keeps attacking every few years. And, yeah, 6 out of 10 Americans in our poll believe that he's getting ready to do it again. Now, the most interesting part of the poll was that we found that 52% of Americans say they are not convinced that President Trump fully understands the Russia threat and is taking enough measures. They want him to do, quote, much more, unquote, to counter the Russia threat. Now, we didn't test issues of, you know, do you think he's colluding? Do you think he's criminally corrupt? Look, that to me right now is a sideshow. There is a legal process. If they find something, okay, we'll deal with that. But right now there's a killer on the loose in Moscow, and he's trying to subvert American democracy. He's attacking his neighbors. He's slaughtering people. His opponents disappear. And while the president actually is doing well on policy, I mean, he's building up – President Trump, rather. He's building up American defenses. That's good. He's pushing NATO to spend more money on their own defenses. That's good. April 3rd, he will hold a summit at the White House with the three leaders of the Baltic states. That's good. But the president is essentially radio silent on the issue of Vladimir Putin, the worst dictator on the planet. And I don't know why. I'm not going to say it's criminal or corrupt. It's just odd. I mean, the president, God bless him, was willing to take a shot at Rocket Man in North Korea, Alec Baldwin. Look, he's tougher on his own attorney general, Jeff Sessions, than he is on Vladimir Putin. Why? And
why do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
Here, because it's a serious threat.
But why do you think that is? Why do you think he's taking a pass at going after Putin?
I don't know. There's a lot of reasons that it could be, and I'm not willing to buy into the leftist argument, which is right now trying to make it look like that he's a criminal. At the moment, there's no evidence that that would conclude that. Now, there could be, but I'm not going to go there unless we knew actual evidence. We're talking about the president of the United States, whose job is to sworn to protect us. Now, again, if he was really soft on Russia, why put Jim Mattis in the defense department? The guy was the head of the supreme allied commander of NATO. Why put Mike Pompeo at CIA? Why have Mike Pence around? Why have Nikki Haley? These people know Russia, and they're strong on this. I'm not worried about the people around him. I was a little worried about Mike Flynn, but Mike Flynn's gone. Okay, so that's the policy. I'm sorry, that's the personnel. Well, you and I just talked about the policy. The only policy area that I think he could do better on, I mean, like immediately, is Congress passed sanctions on Russia last year overwhelmingly. The president hasn't done them yet. There's talk that he's going to soon. He needs to do them. He needs to put sanctions on the Russians, number one. Number two, he needs to put more U.S. and NATO forces in those Baltic states. The only way to really prevent the worst-case scenario that I just described in the Kremlin conspiracy is to have a large enough deterrent force, you know, a speed bump high enough that you're not going to drive in and go grab one of those countries overnight. Because personally, Todd, I do not believe the United States would actually go to war to rescue Estonia. And I say that even though they're a NATO ally, and these are heroic people that lived under Soviet slavery, but I just don't see us doing it. So the only way to make sure it doesn't happen is to have a deterrent force big enough there, and it's not big enough right now.
All right.
Third thing is he's got to speak out about Putin. Putin gave the most dangerous, belligerent speech of 18 years in power last Thursday, and the president has basically said nothing. This is not helpful. But I think the president can course correct. I just pray that he will.
Joel, we're gonna have to leave it there. We have to take a break. Congratulations, though, on the new book. It's a terrific read. Joel Rosenberg, ladies and gentlemen, the book, The Kremlin Conspiracy. We have links to all of Joel's websites and a place where you can get a copy of the book at toddstearns.com. Joel, thanks a lot. Appreciate
it. All the best. Thanks,
all right. Great guy. Folks, we do have to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're with Todd Stearns.